Good thing I had my helmet on. I'm Dave Cohen, jumping in the game just for a few minutes here for Tommy on WWL as we talk about the developments over the weekend as it relates to what's going on in the conflict between Israel, Iran, and the U.S. involvement in that. Joining us to help us kind of find out where we're at with this now is Eric Laub, an associate professor of politics and international relations at FIU and a non-resident scholar at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace Middle East Program. Good morning, Professor. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Glad you could be here. What were there any developments over the weekend in terms of the ceasefire that had been holding last week or anything that we learned new about the U.S. involvement in the effort to end or at least delay Iran's nuclear program?
Well, the ceasefire seems to be holding for the time being, and we have leaders on all sides, Israel, the U.S., and Iran, claiming victory and issuing bold statements. Since that time, there's been a national intelligence estimate by the DIA, Defense Intelligence Agency here in the U.S., as well as by the IAEA, the UN nuclear watchdog, saying that rather than having obliterated Iran's nuclear program, the United States set it back by several months. And so this contradicts the narrative by President Trump and even the Israeli narrative. And Trump was asked over the weekend whether if he had to bomb Iran again, if he would do it. He said yes. But in the meantime, the ceasefire is holding and we'll have to see how these tenuous events develop moving forward.
How does that affect the conversation now that not only was this leaked report from the Pentagon critical of the bombing as being less than accomplishing the absolute mission of obliterating Iran's nuclear capabilities, but now we have this international report that seems to back that up and says that Iran could very quickly resume its work to try and develop a nuclear weapon?
Well, this is obviously very concerning for regional and even global non-proliferation. If Iran actually has voted at the parliamentary level to stop cooperating with the IAEA and potentially withdraw from the nuclear non-proliferation treaty, although that hasn't been approved at the higher levels. But nonetheless, we'll have to see if Iran is able and wants to resume these activities, if that would lead to further confrontation between Iran, the United States, and Israel, or whether, as President Trump has indicated, there would actually be diplomacy happening potentially this week, and that the sides are going to try to iron out some type of deal, even in the wake of these intense hostilities that took place over 12 days for the last couple of weeks.
There's no doubt that the narrative for the last several decades has been that Iran wants a nuclear weapon, that it has been working on some level for decades now to develop a nuclear weapon. And we've seen these iterations of involvement and alleged cooperation with investigators to determine where their nuclear program is at, then periods where they refuse to let anyone in. Where are we at in the evolution of Iran's seeking a nuclear weapon, and how do you see this unfolding moving forward?
Well, prior to the war that broke out on June 13th between the three sides, the estimates were that Iran was several months, if not a year or more, away from weaponizing its program. It had enriched about 900 pounds or so to different levels, closer to weaponization between 20 to 60%, but not the full 90% that's required for weaponization, along with other steps to do that. And so the question is, at this point in time, you know, given the threats that and the hostilities that Iran has faced, whether now it's incentivized even more to develop a nuclear weapon or whether it will use the program as a bargaining chip for sanctions relief and other types of diplomatic benefits that they could receive from the United States and international community.
How do we know who to believe at this point? Because we have U.S. and Israeli officials saying that the strikes that the pair of countries have have carried out, obliterated Iran's nuclear program. But now we have not only a leaked Pentagon report, but a UN report indicating quite the opposite, that they were only set back weeks or months in their efforts to develop a nuclear weapon. How do we know who to believe anymore?
Well, that's a great question. And I think that, you know, we're hearing one narrative of obliteration from politicians who have political incentives to show that this was an absolute or total victory on one side. And then we have these agencies, domestic and international, where experts and professionals are giving a different assessment. And so, you know, we may want to lean in that direction of listening to these agencies and experts and professionals who are trying to make more objective, sober assessments with less political incentives to do that. But again, we're going to have to wait and see, you know, if there's more evidence acquired over time to you know, lend credence to that assessment.
If Iran is trying to hide what capabilities it has, how do we get these intelligence reports, and how trustworthy are they? I mean, are there spies within the Iranian structure and government that are reporting information to our intelligence community? Are there other means, other by satellite or other surveillance, to determine where their nuclear program is at?
I mean, based on what I've heard, it seems to be more of the latter. Of course, Iran has been infiltrated, it seems, particularly by Israeli spies, in terms of something that had made its military and even nuclear program vulnerable, as we saw on full display during that 12-day war, with assassinations and hits to military nuclear infrastructure. But in terms of these assessments, it seems to be more using satellite technology and other technology to try to assess the damage. It seems that these assessments are based mainly on images to see if there were damage to these above ground and underground structures and surrounding areas.
But I guess it's really hard to tell if these bunkers are hundreds and hundreds of feet below ground where they allegedly are doing this work to enrich uranium and try to get enough to create a critical mass so they can have a functioning nuclear weapon. Hard to tell from above the ground what's going on that deep within the earth, huh?
Oh, it certainly is. Although, again, analysts are saying that there's ways to see in terms of not just what these structures look like, but even the, you know, the mountains and surrounding areas, if to what extent they've been collapsed or to what extent they've been lowered. And also something else that particularly the IAEA is looking for is if there's any signs of leaks of radiation. And part of that has to come into cooperation with Iran's own nuclear agency, assuming they are being forthcoming and honest. And you know, apart from physical damage to the structures, there's also been reports that the Iranians knew what was coming ahead of time and were able to move highly rich uranium and even centrifuges out of the facilities before they were hit.
Well, let's hope that eventually we don't find out the hard way that Iran was successful in relocating equipment and is getting closer and closer to creating nuclear weaponry. Professor, anything else we should discuss before we let you run?
I think that's it. I mean, I would say the last thing is that, you know, President Trump, apart from discussing trying to continue to hold the ceasefire and looking at developments involving Iran's nuclear program moving forward in terms of a way to tie in perhaps the cessation of hostilities between Iran and Israel with perhaps also reaching a ceasefire in Gaza. So we'll see if those two could be connected and what that looks like moving forward.
All right, Professor, I'm going to hand things back to Tommy Tucker now here on WWL. Thank you for your time. Tommy's got some questions for you.
You know what they say, for want of a nail, I forgot my glasses, and I couldn't see anything, and I realized at the last minute, Professor, I had to go get my glasses, so Dave Cohen jumped in. Let me take a break. I got some questions for you when we come back. 622 traffic now, WWL. All right, 628, Tommy Tucker, WWL. A rough start this morning. It's all my fault. I forgot my glasses, so I had to sprint back to the parking lot to get them out the car. But now I have them, and we're back, and the guest is back. Eric Laub, Associate Professor of Politics international relations at FIU and a non-resident scholar at the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace Middle East Program. Sorry, Professor, about the confusion, but it all goes back to one guy forgetting his glasses. Isn't that amazing? Let the butterfly effect, I guess. Let's talk real quick about, I'm confused because it seems as though for a while the president was criticized because we shouldn't have bombed Iran. Now they're saying he didn't bomb it enough, or they still have, I don't know, uranium that can be enriched. I don't see how it can be both ways. Do you? Am I missing something here?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it just shows the potentially, you know, based on the assessments that we're seeing, if the United States was unsuccessful in obliterating the program and they're still able to enrich uranium, whether the United States should pursue more military action or whether they should consider the diplomatic track, which President Trump has indicated, and perhaps think about, again, the framework of a deal where the demands by the United States international community are allowing Iran to enrich for civilian purposes, and not allow them to weaponize their program, similar to a deal that we had back in 2015 before the U.S. withdrew from it in 2018.
So do we know how close they were to weapons-grade uranium, or we don't?
Well, according to estimates, again, and this is assuming that we have complete information and perfect information, which I think is a stretch, but assuming we're going by national intelligence estimates and even IAEA estimates, and again, some of these facilities were open to inspectors, the consensus is that they were months, if not a year or more away, with uranium, you know, 900 pounds of uranium or so that was between 20% to 60%, still a bit away from the 90% required for weaponization, and that they did have enough material, assuming they did raise that percentage to produce 9 to 10 bombs or so, or weapons, but that they were still a ways away from doing that, either, you know, months or a year or more.
Thank you, Professor. Appreciate your time. Hope we talk to you again. Eric Lobb, Associate Professor of Politics, International Relations at FIU. Somebody texted in, extra glasses in the office is a real possibility. Yeah, I know that. The problem is you keep picking them up and bringing them to another place, and then you bring them to another place, and before you know it, you got 1,000 pair in one place and none at the other. Either way, we'll come back, talk to Dane Cialino about the SCOTUS rulings. Right now, time for WWL First News.